Good afternoon, or afternoon, it's not afternoon yet. Good morning. It's good to be here, and I'm excited to share with you all about dating and courtship. Something I'm passionate about. Marriage is such a great thing, and I feel like there's a lot of people that have been hurt through bad dating relationships. There's a lot of good dating relationships. We have a lot of great things in our culture about dating. We do a lot of things right, I feel, but I also feel we could use improvement in some different areas. So I'm excited to share with y'all. I need two volunteers, first of all. A guy and a girl, preferably. Come on up. It's really not gonna be that bad, honestly. Come on up. Great. I'm trying to make a point here that it's a little bit abstract from what I'm going to be talking about, but it's something that's very important. So that's just what you wanted to get in it.
I didn't think about the topic when I volunteered.
Gotcha. Well, I'm glad you didn't. So we've got more. I've got more if anybody wants to put them to use later. So, what's your name? I forget your name.
David.
I want you to go and pull a couple petals off of her rose. Just tear them off. There you go. And now you do the same for his. All right, now, David, put him back on. It's not going to work very well, is it?
Nope.
Okay, thanks. I'll take your rose. Y'all can go back. Thank you. Thank you for being brave. So, basically, these roses kind of represent your heart, your emotional makeup, I guess you could say. And when you become emotionally connected to someone of the opposite gender, you, in essence, are taking part of their heart. And you will not be able to put that back. And that can be healed over time, you know, different things like that. But that's why I want to impress on us the seriousness of not just dating, because you can become emotionally connected to somebody outside of dating. You don't have to be in a dating courtship to do that. Barnyarding, whatever you want to call it, predating, giving extra attention to someone of the opposite gender. If you become emotionally connected, you are making an impact on their life, and you basically take a piece of their heart that you can't put back. And so I want us to keep that in mind as you navigate cross-gender relationships and all that. So I'm excited about one thing that makes me nervous about talking about dating is that there really is no scripture that talks about dating, simply because in the Bible they did not date. Like they did not do it like we do it. The Jewish culture would basically, the man would see a girl that he liked or that he wanted to marry, and he would go to his dad, and they would go to the girl's parents and brothers. The brothers were actually fairly involved, and they would, you know, get this thing all set up. And so the lady really did not have a lot of choice in the matter. So I think our ladies are probably very glad that we're not Jews or we're not living in Bible times. So that's why, so a lot of what I have to say, yeah, like there's verses, there's scripture about, you know, being pure in our courtships, things like that, you know, you can't argue with. But there's not, as far as the practical how to date, we can't really go to the Bible and read verses on how to do that. And so basically I have to convince you that what I have to say is actually the correct way to do that. And so why would y'all believe what I have to say? There's really no good reason why you should, other than I have talked to a lot of people about this. I've read a lot of books, and through reading the Bible and just principles and how God wants us to relate to other people, how he wants us to, just simply treating other people like you want to be treated is what brings me to this. So some disclaimers, a few disclaimers here. When you talk about dating, you can always say, well, I know somebody that did this and this and this and it worked out just great. Well, I'm sure you can say that. I have to speak in generalizations. I have to give blanket statements. This is kind of the how I feel it should be done type of thing. And so if you want to, you know, find some distant relative that, you know, they barnyarded around when they were 18 and they got married, and now they have this wonderful family, you know, I'm sure you can do that. And it probably can possibly work, but who you marry is probably, other than deciding if you're going to give your life to the Lord or not, is the biggest decision you'll ever make. And me personally, I don't think I want to take chances when I do that. So I don't think you want to either. So you can maybe, you can go for the, you know, just take a shot at it, hope it all works out method. I wouldn't recommend it. So why is dating correctly important? I've already kind of stated this. Who you marry will largely determine how successful and useful your family is in the kingdom of God. So who you marry and how you are as a person, your character, it's very possible to get married and raise a family that really is not that useful in God's kingdom. Just because you have children doesn't mean that you're going to be an asset to the kingdom of God. We've probably all heard, I'm sure you've heard in messages that, you know, staying married, having a good marriage takes a lot of work, takes a lot of effort, which I kind of have a problem with that. It takes effort, but pretty much anything that you enjoy doing takes effort. So you don't think of that as work. I don't feel like having a good marriage does not take a lot of work. It takes effort, but I enjoy that effort. And so I like to think of it, so this is facts. You have a certain amount of energy, all right? So say you have 10 pounds of energy every day. Some people have more than others, just for a number. And so you put, like, let's say you use up 5 pounds for work, you use up, you know, 3 pounds to go hunting, you use up. Anyway, and you have this certain amount, and you choose how much you use, but you have a certain amount of energy to put towards your marriage, and you will choose how much you do that. If the person you are married to is someone that we use the word compatible, you know, if you're, say your personalities clash, you don't have similar goals, there's a lot of things that you didn't figure out as you were dating, you're going to spend all that energy that you set aside for your marriage, most of that is going to be used up in just simply making this thing work. Like you're just keeping it floating. Versus if you have a low maintenance marriage, someone that your personalities mesh well, you have similar goals, similar visions, all that energy can be put towards actually building and building and building your marriage to where it becomes a wonderful thing. You're not just barely surviving in this marriage. You're actually, I mean, it's just wonderful. And you can actually raise your children, put energy towards child training, towards having family goals, family projects, instead of just, you know, because you can marry and you can be married for 50 years without divorcing. That's really not that hard to do. But I don't know how many of you all just want to just sort of exist in your marriage. Having that over-the-top marriage where it's just, man, it's just one, it's fun, it's great, it's, you just enjoy being together. That's, if you want that, and I'm sure you do, then you're going to have to put some thought and some effort into it. How you date will determine if you actually know who you're marrying on your wedding day. All right? It's very possible to get married to someone you'd have no idea who you're getting married to. You can think you know them, but you don't. And even if you are very intentional about getting to know who you're going to marry, you still won't know them very well when you get married. So it's unfortunate, but it's just the way it is. You're taking a risk. Getting married is a risky thing. But how you go about your dating is going to make a big impact on how well you know them on your wedding day. So basically, and don't throw me out here just right away. Basically, I believe it's more than just I believe that our culture, we have put way too much emphasis on how we feel and the emotional side of a dating relationship versus and deciding who we date, especially who we date. We put way too much authority in emotional attraction, emotional feeling versus actually being honest about it and saying, wait, you know, do our lives mesh well? Is this going to be a good idea? So, something to think about, something that we kind of have to, our culture, so now I'm talking about like the American culture now. We are just bombarded with this thing that love and romantic feelings are pretty much just simultaneous when it comes to marriage and, you know, courtship, dating. It's like, if you love someone, or they use the word love to describe romantic attraction, infatuation, whatever you want to call it. Movies, you just song, country music, whatever. And I hate to disappoint you, but it's really not the case. Like, love, like true love that you feel for your wife is different than romantic feelings. Like, you should, there is romantic feelings for your wife. Don't get me wrong, I'm not this dry, whatever, like no romantic feelings type guy. It's kind of like the icing on the cake, or the, like without it, it would be not good at all. But if our foundation for our marriage, and if our foundation for our dating relationship, if it's all built on this infatuation for the other person, we will have some major issues after the wedding. We have to build it. Your attraction to the other person has to be built on just admiration, like character qualities that you admire in the other person, thing goals that you share, convictions that you share. So let's go to the Bible. Let's just see what the Bible says about love. So we, obviously 1 Corinthians 13, that's where we always go when we talk about love. Yeah, and let's go there again. Just for sake of time, we're going to start at verse 4. Just read verse 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7 is, uses the word charity. We all know charity, love, same thing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. I'm just going to stop right there. It's a very much of an action word. Like, all of these things that we're reading are vital to a healthy marriage. Is, you know, suffering long, being kind, envying not, you know, doesn't, not proud, it's not puffed up. All that is vital to a marriage, but it's not really, it's not romantic. Like, it's just love. Like, you love your neighbor, you love your enemy. Nobody wants to think about their wife as just that practical of a love. Like, we want that warm, fuzzy feeling. And that warm, fuzzy feeling is there. Don't get me wrong. Like, that needs to be there, better be there. But let's not confuse love, that action of love, with just this romantic, warm, fuzzy feeling. We could go to the story of Isaac and Rebekah. We've all heard songs, you know, the Isaac, Eliezer and his camel train and all that. Quick question. What was the name of the servant that went with, to get Isaac's wife? Was it Eliezer? Was that his name? We actually don't know. So the Bible just says it says Abraham's eldest servant. So be careful when you sing songs, even if they are traditional Mennonite songs, sometimes they're not very scriptural. So that one actually isn't. But just for sake of time, I'm not going to read it, but I want you to read it. Go home and read it, or read it tonight, this afternoon, and ask yourself, did Rebekah actually have a choice in if she married Isaac or not? I'm going to say she didn't. Isaac, the servant, talked to, I just read this one. Bethuel, however you say it. The father and the brother, he talked to them, and they said, yeah. They said, Rebekah will go with you. And then the servant's like, hey, I'm going to leave tomorrow. Like, let's go. And they're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, we want 10 days. And then they said, well, let's go ask Rebekah if she will go tomorrow. or if she'll go in 10 days. It doesn't say or if she'll go, but they said, let's ask Rebecca if she's willing to go tomorrow. So read that and study that out. So ladies, I'm not saying that you'll have no choice, but I'm just saying in the Jewish culture, in the biblical, how we read, the father and the brothers were very heavily involved in deciding who the lady married and who she didn't. So where do romantic feelings come in? Again, they need to be there, all right? They need to be there. So I'm not saying throw the romantic feelings out. Question I have is, do you base any other super important decision on your life solely on how you feel about it? You know, well, I just don't, you know, I don't have any feelings for this guy or this, especially for the guy because he's the one that does the asking. So, you know, I just don't have any feelings for him. He's a great guy, but no feelings. We don't base any other decision. We teach that it's a bad idea to base your decisions completely on how you feel. But somehow the most important decision of our life, we want to just like, hey, just how you feel? We don't really give a lot of input. We don't, you know, yeah, we ask our dad, we ask our brothers maybe, but as far as giving a lot of weight to what they say, they're like, yeah, you know, this is a really great guy, you really should date him. We're like, okay, you know, that sounds good. Let's go out for coffee. We don't really do that. So I believe that your decision on who you date, it really does need to be a practical, fact-based decision as much as possible. Now, again, whenever you're dealing with cross-gender relationships, it's impossible to get completely practical, fact-based. And you shouldn't. Like, I'm not saying that you should, but I think we need to lean more on that direction. I have a little graph that hopefully I can get up here to kind of maybe help this make a little more sense. All right. So to help this make a little bit of sense, so this is like, okay, so it's an emotional attachment timeline. So when should you start becoming emotionally attached as a couple? So I feel like this is the ideal situation. So at your first date, you're really not emotionally connected much at all. Like maybe you know each other, maybe you're friends, but as far as the emotional part of the relationship is pretty low key. You have a first date, and I put in there approximately 3 months. I'm not sure where that 3 month number comes in. If y'all are old enough to, you kind of hear that 3 months, you know, after 3 months, you know, somehow it's supposed to really get great after that. Just forget about that. Every relationship is different. People are unique. Nobody's the same. Relationships are all unique. So, but you get the idea. The first part of your relationship from first date on should just be being friends, like pretty low key. Don't get all stressed out about, you know, we're not, doesn't feel like we're just really clicking or, you know, whatever. Spend time together, go play disc golf, go mini golfing, whatever you enjoy doing, go drink coffee together. Keep the date short, like it doesn't have to be, you know, big weekend deals, just an evening. And you'll find that somewhere in there, it'll definitely start progressing. And so eventually you're going to start, that emotional attachment will start growing as you move down. And so you see in there, it says somewhere here, romantic feelings should happen. You start being honest with each other. You start really talking about the nitty gritty, like what do you believe, what do you, goals for your family, stuff like that. And then you have engagement, you know, you're fully committed, and then marriage. On the flip side, we have more of a feelings-based, lots of emotional attachment, a pre-dating, barnyarding style courtship where there's a lot of interaction beforehand. The relationship is not very well defined. So you see we're moving down the emotional attachment line, but we're still not dating. You know, it's just a lot of whatever. There's a lot of uncertainty. Often whoever's instigating it knows exactly, or whoever is instigating the barnyarding, predating, knows exactly where they're at, which is part of the problem with it, is they know where they're at, but often there's not clear communication with the other side, whichever way it is, on exactly where they're at. And so usually, whether it's the guy or the girl, one of them is kind of in the dark, kind of like, you know, do they like me, do they not, you know, and it's just like this big mess. Generally no parental blessings because they don't really know that it's going on, or you're trying to not allow them to know that it's going on. Lots of emotion, perceived love and admiration to each other. And I think we're all old enough, most of you are old enough here to know that romance tends to blind you. It doesn't tend, it blinds you to the faults of the other person and to your differences. You will overlook so much stuff in the other person, and it's not always bad things. It's not like you're overlooking bad things, you're just overlooking things that are different about each other. You're just, the sooner we can get married, the better. And so you have your first date, you're already in it so deep, you know, as far as emotionally, you've already pulled half the rose off the stem. You finally have your first date. You're already too blind to actually evaluate, is this marriage going to be easy? Are we going to mesh well? Our lives going to flow? Are we going to be able to really advance the kingdom of God? Or is this going to take a lot of work? And so you get engaged, or sometimes it ends in a breakup. And usually those breakups are extremely messy. Lots of hurt feelings, lots of emotional trauma because you're attached so much. And then if you do get married, usually there's lots of issues to work through because you haven't talked about anything. You haven't been honest about where each other is actually at in life. And marriage did not solve all your problems like you thought. It actually created more. You're disappointed in your spouse, and you find that your values are misaligned. And so this one is supposed to kind of parallel with the other graphs. So the red line is we have the predator. They start out at like, I just threw in some numbers, they start at like 50, 60%, you know, max attraction to each other. And there's nowhere to go. Maybe I should have put that line at 100%. But they start out at the first date already way up there. And so then you reach engagement. It might spike a little up, into marriage. And then to get married, realize that, oh, this relationship was built on infatuation. We really don't have true admiration for each other. There's really not a lot that I actually admire about this other person. And then you see the emotional attachment actually really dropping off versus more your objective dater, someone that goes into it slower. They're actually evaluating, is this going to work? You see more of the steady climb. And then after you're married, it just keeps on going. It's great. That is the idea. Do what? If you feel like giving it, yeah. So yeah, hopefully that makes sense to y'all. Why, just real quickly, this is a little bit, just a few thoughts on predating, barnyarding, whatever you want to call it. Why is it not healthy? Some people think, well, hey, it's okay to test the waters a little bit, see what's going on. And, you could kind of make a case for that. I would say the biggest thing is that it distracts your single life is so valuable to the kingdom of God. Like, y'all, you know, there's so much awesome stuff that single people can do in God's kingdom that married people cannot do. And when you're bogged down with all of this undefined relationship drama, that you're distracted, you really are not useful in the kingdom of God at that point. It just destroys youth group cross-gender relationships. There's just this, these people kind of like each other, everybody tries to kind of avoid you because it's weird, and you don't know they're avoiding you because you're blind. You're just like, that's the biggest thing that I would see with dating. And then if you actually do enter that relationship, like we just saw, it's not that great. And often you end up not even dating that person. And then you have all this baggage that it's just unnecessary. It wouldn't have had to happen. So guys especially, be very careful with that one. So girls, how do you know when to tell a guy yes or when to tell him no? That's the big question, or a big question. And hear me out on this one. So I believe we have our grandparents' generation where they just, you know, they went on the Saturday evening date. You know, they, if they were Amish, they drove them home. I don't know how Amish did it, but you know, they just, so we have that. And then we swing all the way over to where we are now, to where when you ask someone on a date, it's like you're asking them to marry you. And so I feel we need to bring it somewhere in the middle. I'm not for just just lots of casual dating. That's not what I'm for at all. But I feel we need to date more casually, but officially. What I mean by that is, guys, call her dad. Go through all the proper steps. You're going to need all the help. You want the dad on your side, trust me. If you're going into it with a dad not on your side, you're headed for trouble. But do it low key, like, hey, you know, I want to go out for coffee. Especially, and I would say this is probably especially true for older people, for older singles. Like, let's just go out for coffee. Let's talk about this relationship. Are we open to it? Are we not open to it? Instead of this. But be official. Make sure the parents are involved. Make sure it's clear what's going on, not just an open-ended thing. So I would say, ladies, ask a couple questions. If a guy asks you, just ask yourself, is he a solid Christian guy? Like, if he's not a solid guy, you don't need to give him a yes. Like, tell him no. Like, you know, it's he doesn't deserve a relationship. If he doesn't have a solid walk with the Lord, you do not want to be in a relationship with him. Is he a leader? Is he responsible? And then, do you enjoy being around him? Like, if you just don't enjoy the guy, like if you don't like the guy, like, don't date him. Like, it's not. There's no point in trying to force a relationship. That you know, maybe he's a little. There's social things about him that you just don't really enjoy, or you know, you name it. But if he answers, if the answer is yes to those four questions, is he a solid Christian? Is he a leader? Is he responsible? You know, are we friends? Do we enjoy each other? Go on a date with him. It's not. You don't have to have lots of emotional feelings for that guy to go on a first date. Guys, so then on the flip side, guys, how do you know when to ask or who to ask? I would say don't agonize and pray over it for too long. I'm not a big fan of just praying about this thing for years. You know, finally you drum up the nerve to ask her out. To start with, the problem with that is you cannot think about a certain girl for that long without becoming emotionally attached. It's just impossible. It's not the way we're made. You will not be able to pray about a girl for six months, a year, without having feelings for that girl. And so then if she says no, then you're crushed. Then it's just like this huge, it's like a funeral almost. You know, and you've got to overcome this and work through it. It's not like the first date is not that serious. You should be praying, is it God's will for me to date or not? See, we like to think that we're giving God the option. We say, God, you know, we're praying, should I ask this girl out? So God has the option of saying yes or no to this girl. Why don't you ask God, should I date? See, we still want to keep that option open. We want to date when we want to date. We don't want God to tell us when it's time to date. So pray more, God, is it time for me? Is it your will? Call the dad first. I mean, by all means, just call him. I mean, I'm sure that there's a situation. Maybe she's an older single or whatever. But yeah, like I said earlier, you want the dad on your side. We will get into some practical dating tips in a little bit. So guys, here's some things to look for in a wife. These are some things that you are gonna definitely want. And ladies, this is actually more for the ladies because the guys actually know this already. So take notes. Oh, and I was going to remind you, make sure if you have questions, make sure you write them down so we can have some good discussion this evening. So things to look for in a wife. First of all, are they a dedicated Christian? Like, you want someone that's growing as a Christian, because you will not be able to change your wife. You won't have that much influence over your wife. You will have, the man probably has more influence and can probably change the wife more than the wife can change the man, just because men are hard to change. But you want someone that God is working on, because if God isn't working on that person, there's not going to be a lot of growth. Like, you're not going to, don't marry somebody thinking, well, you know, I'm going to change her and I'm going to help her, you know. No. If God isn't doing that, you're not going to get very far. You want a servant. You want a wife that's a servant. You want someone that's willing to support decisions that are not their first choice. So, like, you're going to make decisions as the man that your wife may not, it may not be her preference. So is that girl that you're thinking about, is she going to be able to support you in that decision? Someone that will follow but has opinions. You want someone that has beliefs, and you don't want just I don't know what you call it. You want someone with a personality. So ladies, have a personality. Don't just be a, you know, bump on a log. Be interesting. Someone that dresses attractively but modestly. And I think this is something that maybe ladies don't, guys get this. It's a little harder for ladies to do. There's a difference. Your modesty is what makes you beautiful. So dress modestly. Someone that's not silly. Guys don't like silly girls. You know, just always laughing and, you know, just never serious. Be able to have a conversation, a spiritual conversation. Guys, don't marry a spender, all right? At least it's been said that you can, as long as in a relationship it can work, as long as only one of you is a spender. So if you're a spender, make sure you don't marry a spender. But it's not hard to work all day, put the money in the bank, and then have your wife go to town if you can trust that she's not going to blow money. But if she's gonna just do a lot of needless spending, that is gonna grate on you like a lot over years of marriage. And this one might be a little whatever, but it's true. Watch your weight and stay fit. Okay, like there's just something that's attractive about someone that's that cares about their personal appearance, not overdone, but that cares about staying fit. Ladies, what to look for in a husband? Again, a man of God that's growing spiritually. And this is especially true for you. If the guy that you're dating is not growing spiritually, he's not listening to the Lord, you're not going to have much luck with improving his character qualities. God is the one that's going to have to do that. And so that has got to be top priority. Someone with character that you can respect. So I actually have these on, that's for the, if you wanted to write a few of those down, but someone with character that you can respect. You want your marriage built on respect for one another and just admiration for the other person, not just a bunch of feelings. Someone that has confidence and can lead out. You don't want a self-conscious husband that's just trying to find his way through life. He needs to get that figured out before he tries to lead a wife and lead a home. Someone that's genuine. Someone that's secure in who he is and who God made him to be. You want a gentleman. Someone that holds the door. Someone that says please and thank you. Just general stuff. Someone that treats his mother and sisters well. If the guy you're dating does not treat his mom well, doesn't treat his sisters well, he's not going to treat you well. Like, he can treat you well for 6 months while you're dating. That's very easy to do. You're only together one weekend out of the year, one day out of the week. Hopefully more than one weekend out of the year. But one day out of the week. And so you can put on a, you know, he can put on a front. But look for those small things. How's he treating his mom and his sister? Someone that is neat and stays fit. So I didn't mind staying fit. I wasn't always the greatest about being neat. I didn't care that much about my personal appearance. And so my wife has definitely helped to keep me up to par on that. A hard worker that will do his best to provide. Like, if you've got to be worried about, if you've got to kick your husband out of bed in the morning to get him to work, like, It might not seem that bad when you're dating, but year after year after year of that, it is going to get extremely old. So if your guy is not motivated to provide, it's going to be a deal breaker. Like, that is going to really cause some issues. And then a young man that's not overly obsessed with personal appearance. He does care about how he appears, but not overly. Some practical dating tips. There's that list. I don't want you all focused on the screen. That's why I'm not giving them to you ahead of time. Remember that you will spend the majority of your married life under a very different set of circumstances than what you currently are in. And I think that's one thing that I didn't think about too much. So, how many of y'all like to play volleyball? Some of y'all look like you're pretty athletic, probably pretty good at it. I mean, what, like, to a guy, like, wouldn't that just be awesome to marry this awesome setter that, you know, you can practice volleyball together. She sets, bam, down it goes. You know, you make a big show. It's wonderful. Sounds so romantic. And so the bottom line is, like, you really will play volleyball for maybe, like, 2 years after you're married. The rest of the 55 years, you're not going to play volleyball, or very seldom. So that should be, how she plays volleyball should really be a non-factor in whether or not you date this girl. Things like that. So remember that think about, okay, how are we going to spend the majority of our life? We're going to spend the majority of our life at home, primarily, raising a family, and then, you know, once the family's gone, we're going to be just the two of us again. And do we enjoy similar hobbies? Like, vacations? Do we enjoy doing the same similar things on vacation? Don't base who you're marrying just off of, like, the little bubble of the 6, 7, 8 years that you're single and you're over 16. That's a very small part of your life. Don't expect too much out of the first date, okay? It can be awkward. It's probably not. It might be great. It might not be that great. Don't ditch the relationship just because the first date didn't turn out just because it wasn't just this overpowering surge of emotional romantic feelings like in the movies. It just doesn't work that way. Like, life is not like movies. It's not like romantic books. It's actually more like dating books that you read, and I will give you a few of those that you should read. Save the roses for later. I mean, this is just personal opinion, okay? Like, it's just a first date. Like, let's lower the seriousness of it. You don't have to, like, present her with a whole rose bush on the first date. I see some of these pictures, and the girl is just, like, struggling to hold this big pot of flowers. I'm just like, you know, whatever. Probably wouldn't have been necessary. Take that or leave it. That's my personal opinion. Do something that you both enjoy on a first date. I think this is actually pretty key. Just going out to eat, my opinion, is not just the greatest idea, because you're just sitting there, and when you're sitting across or beside each other, however you decide to sit at the restaurant, you have to make conversation, or else it's going to get awkward pretty fast. If you're doing something that you both enjoy, the conversation flows a lot better. If you're out playing disc golf or fishing or, you know, whatever you both ask her dad, ask her brother, hey, what does she enjoy doing? And then plan the date accordingly. I already alluded to this. Don't expect to feel an overpowering surge of romantic feelings on the first couple of dates. Like, just don't expect it. I mean, if it happens, you know, okay, whatever. But guys, set the pace, but set it to the girl's speed. And realize that you're probably ahead of the girl, at least at the beginning. Not always, but generally speaking. And so try to be sensitive to where the girl is at. Like, is she, does she still just wanting just to be friends? She's still not sure about it. Just give her that space. Try not to make her put the brakes on the relationship. That's extremely awkward for the ladies, and it doesn't work out very well. My opinion is that it needs to be a hands-off relationship. You know, a side hug when you first meet, whatever, that's totally fine with that. But other than that, it needs to be hands-off. And the reason is because, again, you're trying to evaluate this relationship and see, are we going to be able to build a godly family? Is this marriage going to work well together? Not just, can we survive it? Is it going to be a great marriage? And so the more physical contact, all that stuff. It just feeds that, the feeling part of a relationship, and you're going to have a harder time being objective. I'm running out of time, I see. So it's a couple quick compatibility checks. I'll just throw these up there. I would say these are deal breakers. If you can't agree on these things, you probably should end the relationship. Take that with a little grain of salt, but these are definitely some things that you need to have figured out. Do you agree on how to train children? Especially the last one there. Make sure you get that one figured out. I never understood couples that had problems with that. I'm like, I don't know, like if you can't agree on stuff like that, I feel like it should go deeper than that. So anyway, I just threw that one up there for the fun of it. Do you agree on how to train children? Talk about that stuff while you're dating. If you're a soft parenting guy and you're a soft parenting girl and he's the woodshed style guy, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have some problems. How scheduled and structured would you want your family to be? Do you get up? Are you morning people? Are you not? And how do you use time? Like that's actually like some of these things, that the things that you're going to run into every day are the ones that are that you need to get figured out. The thing of time is probably one of, I don't know, it's probably one of the things that my wife and I have to work through the most is I think about something for a little while, and then when I'm ready to do it, I do it, like now, like it's time to get it done. My wife is not as much that way, and so I thought of it just last night. I think Mark said, hey, let's meet at the prayer room at 7 or soon after for prayer. So I heard 7, and my wife heard soon after. So it's just like, it's a lot of it's how you're raised. And so if you don't talk about this stuff, and thankfully we discussed that before we were married, and so it's not a huge issue. But that's just, those are differences that you're going to need to have figured out. And then just a few, in closing, just a few things that some less important issues that you might want to talk about. And then I would encourage everybody to read some books. If you're interested in dating, read some books, man. Like, it's not weird. It's not, maybe y'all have. I didn't much. And it's kind of dumb because for us guys, if we were going to like rebuild a motor, all right, and you've never done that before, you wouldn't just go out there and get started. Like, you wouldn't, and it wouldn't turn out very well. No, you research, you watch YouTube videos, you read manuals, whatever you do, and then you might give it a shot. Somehow dating, we just think it's just going to come naturally and, you know, whatever, and probably comes more naturally for the ladies, but some of us guys, we're just not that good at it. That's just all there is to it. And so do some research. I really recommend the top one, The Sacred Search by Gary Thomas. That one's really good. I think the one by Joshua Harris, I heard he kind of went off the rails personally. I'm like in his personal life, he kind of, I don't know, what he has to say in the book is still actually really good. Even though he himself doesn't appear like he is living by what he preached currently. In Search of a Helpmeet, that one's kind of good. It's not that, I mean, it's not extremely great, but it kind of helps you to see the personality, how your different personalities can mesh. For guys only and for girls only, I forget who that one's written by. Personally, I enjoyed For Girls Only more than For Guys Only. So just because I actually found out more about myself by reading For Girls Only, just because, I don't know, it, like explaining to them how guys think, I actually was like, oh yeah, like that's actually what's going on inside my head when, you know, these different things are happening. So I would actually encourage you to read both of them. And girls, I've heard the same for the girls that read For Guys Only. They're like, oh, that actually makes sense. Like, helps you to understand how you yourself are processing. So that is all I have. I feel like it was maybe an information overload. Hopefully I didn't snow you under. Dating can be great. It can be wonderful. It can be an enjoyable time of your life. Marriage can be great, can be wonderful, but it can be really bad, and it can be just misery. It honestly can. And a lot of that is going to depend on you, how you choose to do your dating, who you choose to marry, and all that. So God bless you as y'all continue to think and pray and whatever. So, yeah. Like I said, if anyone needs the roses later, they're here. So that is all I have.